This reading is from John chapter 10, starting at verse 22. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father sent, whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, 'I am God's son'? Do you not believe me unless I do the works of my Father? But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, "Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true." And in that place, many believed in Jesus.
Thank you so much, Kez, for reading God's word to us. And if you don't have a physical Bible to hand, it would be good for you to keep God's word open in front of you, and so you could use the internet for that. If you don't have a paper Bible to hand, try Bible Gateway, search for Bible Gateway, John chapter 10, and you might add the initials CSB, which will allow you to use the version of the Bible that I have in front of me that we use here at Trinity. And as we begin to study God's word together, we should pray. So let's just have a few words of prayer, committing our way to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word is truth. Help us now to believe it. Enable us, come Holy Spirit, and let us understand it. And teach us to obey it, for Jesus' precious sake. Amen. Amen. Well, as I say, I hope you have the text open in front of you. And I want you to see, and I need us to look today at how we get from verse 31, seeking to stone him, down to verse 42, and many believed in him. That's the question I want us to ask and answer today as we study this last section of John 10. How do we get from stoners, those who picked up rocks to stone him, who hate Jesus, who want nothing to do with him, indeed want to lynch him and have him gone, how do we get from there to those who've heard his word, seen his deeds, and believed in him? Well, the first thing that we must acknowledge is that there is a change of location, and therefore some of the people are different. John is not saying that everyone who was there in that first section in verse 31 is there at the end. Some of the people are different. In a very real sense, the Lord Jesus leaves behind those stoners in Jerusalem. And he finds in Bethany across the river the listeners and believers. But still, I think the question is valid for us. The apostle is recording for us different responses to the same message. That much is clear. He's actually concluding a section here as he concludes chapter 10. And actually, the district, the area, the geography matters to our writer. The writer is the one, the disciple Jesus loved. And he said in chapter 1 and verse 28, in Bethany across the Jordan is where the ministry began. And we're now being told Jesus ends his ministry there as well. Now, we understand these days that this is a place called Batanea. It's in the jurisdiction of Philip the Tetrarch. In the Old Testament, it was known as Bashan. And John, the writer, has referenced the four political districts of the country as they exist at that time: Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and now Transjordan. And as he does that, he's declaring Jesus to be a Messiah for all people, the Son of God who came to save everyone. He is not just a God of poor country folk. He is one for rich city folk too. And indeed, for rich country folk and poor city folk. Jesus has come for all. He's come for you. If you were to glance down at chapter 11, you will see a different Bethany comes into view. The more common one, if you like, the one just across from Jerusalem. And that new section, the public ministry of Jesus has ended in the old section in the north, Bethany of the north. And in this second section, in the Bethany by Jerusalem, we begin the series that leads to the public execution in the south. We're being told that Jesus is no regional Messiah or parochial preacher. He is the true Israel. So then, there are these two types of people. Jesus is seeking to reach them all. Despite Jesus trying to seek and reach them all, there are two types of people. He will speak and act equally before the listeners and the stoners. And in the end, he will leave the stoners behind. They cannot touch him. They cannot go with him. They cannot hold on to him. They certainly cannot kill him. He will be with those who listen and believe. There have ever been, and there ever will be, those who try to seize Jesus and stone him, verse 39. They would do with him as they will. And there have ever been and there will ever be those who believe in Jesus, verse 42, and trust in his words and his works. And I wonder if you know which you are this morning. And we need to look now at how we go from one to the other. How do we go from stoner to believer? Let's begin by looking at the stoner and understanding the position. What are they like? How are we like them? And then we will see the path of transformation. So the key mark of the stoner here in verses 32 and 33 is that they separate the works and the words of the Lord Jesus. "We aren't stoning you for a good work" is in effect an acceptance of the works of Jesus. These are great and noble deeds, they're effectively saying. They're comfortable with them, and they're comfortable with the one who does them. They are happy with the doer of these works, but they cannot abide the teacher who is attached to them. They like the miracle worker, but they call him a blasphemer. They adore the principle of spiritual truth revealed and at work, but they balk at it being applied to their lives and their culture and changing things. Perhaps like some of us, they love the thrill of the journey after truth, but they cannot accept that truth is an absolute. How many of us want to have a bit of Jesus, but not all of him? How many of us are happy with a gospel that feeds the poor and fights for the homeless, but cannot bear it when we read that there is only one type of relationship that is right for sex? How many of us want the wonder of an awesome creator God, but struggle because of the latest scientific theories that speak of many, many billions of years? These things are the same today. love the one, we can't get the other. We adore the principle of spiritual truth at work, but we balk at it being applied directly to our hearts and our lives and seeking to change things. I like what Jesus did, but I'm not sure I can do what he has told me to do, what he wants me to do. This is rooted in our culture today. The challenge is the same. Our thinking, you see, our culture's thinking is twisted. The world around us tells us that the problems are all out there and the solutions are all in here. If only I can be strong, have enough self-esteem, I will survive. Marvel tells us with its incessant stream of superhero movies that however big the problem, if there is but one of us, or maybe on occasion, a whole gang of us, with internal strength and superpower enough, we will overcome. No. When we rely on ourselves and our own powers, the result is failure. We eventually come to the end of ourselves and we crash. At this moment of international need, many once great nations seem to be looking only to themselves for answers. How many of us are doing the same in our individual lives? The answers are not in here. That's where the problems are. Well, where are the answers? Who has the answers? Jesus explains that the stoner, the one who has fallen, come to the end of themselves, as many of us have, Jesus explains that we have effectively made ourselves gods. We have put the crown on our own heads. It's what the stoners accuse Jesus of doing. They say he has made himself God, which of course he couldn't do because he was and is and always will be God. And they accuse him of blaspheming, of claiming the place of God, of putting the crown on his own head. They're actually, as they do that, making themselves into God. They are taking the judging function of God to themselves and saying, we know better, you deserve to die. What they accuse Jesus of, he never did. But every man since Adam has actually done it. Adam thought he knew better than God and he ate an apple. And every one of the human race since has been born to sin and sinned like these ones here by putting the crown on their own heads. When we put the crown on our own heads, we reject the Lord Jesus. And Jesus answers them. And his answer is the pathway from stoner to listener and from listener to believer. Jesus quotes Psalm 82 in verse 34. Isn't it written in your law, I said you are gods? You see, the Old Testament has taught these people, or should have done if they'd been listening, to expect a Messiah who would also be God. The psalm says that God himself found it acceptable for others to be called gods, small g. So how can they now object if Jesus calls himself the Son of God? Especially given that Jesus Christ is already proven to be the Messiah, the one set apart, the one sent by God into the world, indeed ordained by God to judge the nation, to save the people whom God has called to himself. His works prove it. The joy of this moment is that Jesus is the one set apart, and that word, set apart, is rooted in the holiness concept of things, and people holy in God's service. And what is this time that John is telling us about? What is this festival of Hanukkah? Except it is a time of rededication, the resetting apart, the making holy again, if you like, of the temple that had been desecrated. And at this moment, Jesus says, I am the one who fulfills this picture. I am the one who it means that the whole people can now be rededicated to God. The thing that you lost as you were rescued out of Egypt and you get to Sinai and you have the golden calf and you lose your dedicated status, you become corrupt before God. That is undone in Jesus Christ. You have to believe the words and the works of this set-apart, holy Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament taught them, teaches us to expect Messiah, taught them, teaches us to expect Trinity, that is God in three persons and yet still one God. Verse 30 said, I and the Father are one. And Jesus reinforces that here in these verses. You've seen my deeds, you've seen the Father. So here is the pathway. Accept the words and the works of Jesus. Trust in him to act. Believe in him to speak truth for life. Listen to the testimony of those who saw the deeds, and you too can be saved. You too can go from stoner to believer. These words and these works, they go together and they impact lives like that. And indeed, the works yet to be done. Let's not forget that although our writer appears to claim that John the Baptist's testimony is fully true, did you see that in verse 41? So far in the account that's written, only the trajectory is set. We've not yet read of the Lord of life triumphant risen from the grave, but we will. The opening sign of the section of the gospel that begins at chapter 11 is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It's the seventh sign, the perfect sign, the one that leaves no doubt of the powerful works that come only from the Father. So here is joy and wonder. We have a way to become believers by believing in these words and these works. But in verse 38 is even more wonder, more grace, if you will. For the one who doesn't get the words can still believe in the works. Even if you struggle still to believe the words, you can just believe the works. Oh, don't hear me wrong. You can't deny the words. That means you have not moved from the position of the stoners. But you can say, I don't understand the words, and still believe. What grace is this? Is not that Thomas's position? I know what I have heard, but still I do not believe. And then he sees the works of Jesus. Jesus is alive, and he proclaims, my Lord and my God. And as John records, it's only later that all the disciples understood what Jesus was really saying. The Father is revealed to one who cannot see the words by the actions. The works show us the Son of God. The works of the Son of God show us the Father God. Again, don't hear me wrong. The unity of these words and works really matters. On the cross, as Jesus dies, he unites the works and the words remarkably. Tetelestai, it is finished. Now that is a victory cry, not uttered as a last whispered word, but shouted over all of creation. After this, the Bible tells us, when Jesus knew that everything was now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, it is finished. When he had done the work, he said the words. His glorious word, proclaiming that the greatest work any man had ever done was done. The good shepherd had come. The sheep can now be safe. The Messiah is here. The Son of God has done that which we could not do. And he sets his people free. So now what shall we make of this pathway? Firstly, you need to know where you stand today. Are you a stoner or a listener, a believer? The choice is yours. You have heard that Jesus saves, that he is the good shepherd who leads us down this path. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He has risen from the dead. Will you come down that path as he calls you today? Will you believe? Back in Bethany across the Jordan, we find these ones who believe in the testimony of John the Baptist. All that John said has been proved true, and they believe. No deeds. John did no deeds. They believed in his testimony. Why not put what I have said this morning to the test and see if it proves true? on the testimony of what you've read here. Perhaps on the testimony of a friend who's a believer and says, I believe, I trust, and it has changed my life. Why not today put it to the test in true humility, acknowledging that your natural inclination is to put the crown on your own head. Come to Jesus and say, I take off my crown. I am sorry for my sin. Please wear the crown of my life, Lord Jesus. If you would explore this some more, then I would encourage you to look at a website called Two Ways to Live. You can get it as an app on your mobile phone. And if you start working your way through that, I'd love to hear from you and to go through it with you and answer your questions. And I hope to pray with you very soon as a new believer. But now for those of us who already believe, we cannot only rely on the works. We must be very careful not to separate the works and the words. We must listen to the words of the Lord Jesus and ever more deeper go as the days go by. Our study of the word and our bowing before it are not optional extras. They're tied together. They are our modus operandi. Would you grow in grace? Study your word, study your Bible, submit yourself to this word. Would you see others saved? Invite them to read the word with you, to hear it preached as you yourself listen. My brothers and sisters, if we fail to do these things, our assurance will suffer, our witness will suffer. So let us pray now that they will not. Father God in heaven, I ask that you would bless us as we are reminded again of the great works of the Lord Jesus, who conquered death. He made a blind man see, blind from birth, unquestionably gave him back his sight. He raised Lazarus from the dead, and he himself, so horribly tortured and crucified, so definitely dead and buried, came back to life, took up his life again, was raised from the dead, and visited his followers and said to Thomas, see, touch, and believe. Father, would you let us say again with Thomas, my Lord and my God? I pray that that might be true today for the first time for some, but it would also be our testimony for those who've done it before and who've walked long. Would you, Lord Jesus, draw us deeper into your words as well, that we would not just trust the works, but that we would go deeper and deeper, listening to your words, submitting ourselves to them, believing in them. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you'd apply them to our lives and draw us on to serve you in many and various ways in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.